The Millennium Development Goals were largely social. They were oriented towards people. And the Sustainable Development Goals, first of all, changed the time horizon from 2015 to 2030. And they expand the agenda of the MDGs to include people and the planet, which was what was really the missing element, was the sustainability, protecting the planet, keeping our world for the future, which was missing in the MDGs.
So what stage are the Sustainable Development Goals at now?
We're actually in a very good place. The Open Working Group, this was a group of 70 countries that came together and agreed on 17 Sustainable Development Goals for this new period, 2015 to 2030. And they cover economic, basically prosperity issues, people issues, as well as planet issues in a very comprehensive way. They also cover how this new agenda will be funded, resourced, and also covers what countries need to do in terms of ensuring justice and equity for everyone, in terms of their own laws, in terms of their policies.
How difficult has it been to get people to agree on these very goals?
It's been very challenging. It's taken over a year, but the good news is that the SDGs really represent the views from below, in other words, from everyday people, as well as governments in a very broad-based manner. The MDGs were often criticized as being top-down, that they were decided in closed rooms in the capitals in the north, whereas this is really a bottom-up approach. There's been a major survey, for example, called My World, where over 1,400,000 people were consulted all around the world online, and those results were also fed into this. And a lot of civil society groups were also consulted.
So what challenges remain?
2015 has been called the time for global action by the UN. This is the theme for this year. And the three major events, one will be the summit in September of 2015 at the General Assembly, which will adopt the new agenda. The centerpiece of the agenda will be the SDGs. Our prediction, although we cannot predict in the Secretariat what member states will decide, but we suspect that the 17 goals will remain intact. In fact, in his synthesis report, the Secretary General has called for that. He recognizes it. There's also the Financing for Development Conference in Addis in July, which will talk about how this new agenda will be funded, where the resources will come from a combination of national resources as well as international resources from donor countries, new donors, the richer developing countries. And then finally, in December in Paris, there will be the climate deal. We've had now the Lima conference has just ended with a call for action on climate change. And this is giving good momentum to the negotiations that will lead up to a new climate deal in December. These are the three landmarks for 2015, the remaining agenda. The Secretary General in his synthesis report has described in very clear terms for the general public, and I will repeat his six key elements in the new agenda. He speaks of dignity, he speaks of people, prosperity, planet, justice, and partnership. These are the six principles that will guide this agenda. He captures the spirit of the 17 SDGs in this, while at the same time giving a strong push, strong endorsement to the 17 SDGs that have been decided by countries.
How can the youth be part of this agenda?
The youth are an essential part. One, they have a voice through the youth major group, as we call it. There are nine major groups that have a right to speak in sustainable development meetings, and the voice of youth has been very vocal. You're right to raise youth because we speak of the youth bulge right now. There are 1.8 billion youth across the planet, and the Sustainable Development Agenda, the SDGs, are very much about them because it's about the world that they will help build and construct. So there's a great deal of focus on youth. The Secretary General in the synthesis report talks about them. And the important thing is to invest in youth so that we actually get a youth dividend. The risk is that if we don't invest in terms of education and health in this 1.8 billion youth, they will just wind up unemployed and they won't contribute to future growth, inclusive growth.